we looked at his purposes, and we looked at his prayers especially, I guess. And tonight we're going to look at his persecutions. So let's turn on my light so I can see what I'm doing here. Flashing armpit to the whip to the video people. There we go. Sorry about that. And let's go here just for a second here. Let's go in Acts chapter 9 before we really get started, although we are getting started. Let's see if I cannot be an ADHD preacher tonight and teacher. Just stick to the subject and get it done. And once again, I am looking back at some notes that I did back in my prime, understanding KJV 7. You know, and I just have to say, I mean, there's always stuff I can add to these things, I suppose, but that whole understanding KJV series, is all, the only thing it's lacking, I think, the only thing it's lacking are some updated comments about how true that stuff really is. For example, tonight, we'll be looking at the persecutions of Paul, of which we also go through. If we try to present Paul to anybody, or if we try to live Paul's manner of life, if we have a joy and a peace as well, we don't need to be frustrated with the economy. We get selfish, you know. We don't need to be frustrated with the country. We know it's going to go this way. It's reprobated. And we know that people don't want to hear Paul, and that's going to get stronger and stronger. They don't understand, even though they believe that, yes, Christ rose again. Well, then why don't you believe what Christ taught after he rose again? The New Testament doesn't begin until the death of the testator, so why are you going back to the Gospels to teach about Jesus? Other than there's what he did, and here's his history, here's his life on the earth, here's the law that he fulfilled. I mean, there's reasons to teach all that stuff. But you know, if we were to teach the Gospels in a severity fashion, with grace and love, of course, then we'd fit right in with everybody else. And I personally don't want to fit in, because it's wrong. It's that simple. Okay, so we're looking at Acts chapter 9, verse 16, and here's one of the purposes that we had talked about last week, verse 16, well, let's go to 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Sorry, the yawns come every time I start doing this. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He gets his time with the Jews. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Do we? So then the obvious question would be, well, do we have to suffer? This is about Paul. Well, if we look at Timothy, which I know we all know these things, but let's just do it in case somebody's listening in. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, living godly is according to the risen Savior, is according to Paul. It's not according to the Jewish law and the Gospels. That's not what we're talking about. So that's not the case. Yes, if we want to live and follow the manner of life that Paul has taught us, and we want to try to follow that, which is not hard to do, we just don't want to. You know, it's the flesh. It's between the flesh and the mind. You keep your mind out of the Bible, your flesh will win. If you keep your mind in the Bible and trying to do the right thing, being led by the Spirit, which is what the Bible tells us, not some inner little sanctimonious feeling. Because if that's the case, all the music you like, apparently God will like too. And there's a difference there. God doesn't like all that. It's just scriptural. Anyway, so we're looking at persecution. Yes, we can identify with some of these. Yes, that was part of Paul's ministry. Oh, joy. What a ministry to have. So let's look at these persecutions. Well, let's go to the obvious ones. 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 6. A lot of verses here, though. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, these are the obvious ones. Verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Okay. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Well, I can't say that for mine. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, and much the ministers of God today. Is that not sickening and barfy? I mean, come on, you ministers. You're nothing. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, which means you're not sleeping very well. You don't sleep much. In fastings. Oh, that's interesting. Corinthians, before the King James Bible. Remember all that? By pureness, by knowledge. Remember, knowledge in part. We got the Bible now. By long-suffering. That's a tough one. By kindness, by the Holy Ghost, through the Bible. By love unfeigned. That's a real truthful love, not just a church face. By the word of truth, King James Bible, by the power of God through the King James Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 12, or is it 2 verse 12? By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Then he says, O ye Corinthians, before the King James Bible, our mouth is open unto you. There's your King James Bible today. Our heart is enlarged. See, there's what they've been through. And then it goes on and it talks about being not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and the Bible's clear. Paul's words are clear. Let's go to chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're looking at the obvious things you read about when you read the Bible, and people have talked about this. The pastor guys out there, they'll talk about this. They'll show how much the ministry has had to suffer, you know, that kind of a thing, as they drive their multi-million-dollar cars, wear their slick suits, you know, and they got these fancy buildings that a lot of churches are starting to lose because they never did build. Because, I mean, they built, but they never did come, so they're getting stuck with those bills and the stuff, the life they live. I'm not against pastors being comfortable, but we are. You know, there's always something we could, in this tech age, we could always buy something. And Bob is there. Yep, Bob, was I not always spending the money back at the church? And yet, it kept coming in. But by the time we were done, it was the website folks that were keeping the church going, not the other way around. Just like here at the school. I guess I'm just a money spender, I guess. Last year, I think I overspent my budget by about $6,000 or so, I was told. But they never stopped me because I didn't know what the budget was. So I just bought stuff as I needed it for the music program, for the band program. Might even be more than that, actually, because we bought some stuff for the play. This year, I guess I'm just maybe a few hundred dollars over, maybe more than a few. Whenever he says something, that means you're really quite past, because he never does say no. But I've also, you know, we've got a music room that looks like a music room now, not just the back of the stage. Instruments, that get, you know, it costs money. It just costs money. And we haven't even gone techie, really. And if I go tech with my music program, I might as well quit, because, Mark, you know I will just go frustrated beyond. YouTube is a fantastic hit. Yeah, rent. You do know that I rented a limo for my daughter's graduation in Rapid City. Shows how spoiled I am. And you do know that I rented a limo in interior South Dakota, the little Indian kids out there, because they had such a good year, I just took them for a ride in a limo. They actually have a limo out in that part of the world. And We have a limo here in town, but it's all battered and got my stuff in it. But there is one in a neighboring town. And I'm thinking about it. If we have, well, I think we can have a pretty good year here still. If I can get these guys to climb the little mountains that music puts in front of you every day. I'm seriously thinking of trying to get the parents, of course, to rent a limo and let's, well, you know, I've only got 7 kids in my junior high band. And they really put out a pretty good sound. We could take the whole band in one limo ride. I think we can get 7 of those things. So that would be fun. They would enjoy that, I guess. Anyway, it's just worldly, materialistic, wow kind of stuff, and whatever. Anyway, my point is there's always money to be spent in the ministry. Same thing with this one and computers and that, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, so if you don't have the money, then there's where some of the suffering is at. It depends what you need. Thanks again for the printer, because I'm already using that thing for here for this ministry stuff, so scans and all that. That's nice to have one working again. Okay, let's get back on trail here. And see, I'm on a budget already, and it's not even, we just started the second semester, so whatever. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6. Now, this is a long string of them with some typical other comments that Paul puts in here. Verse 6, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. And there's where the Ruckman crowd take advantage of that. So I can be rude on purpose. No, you know, offensive and all that. Yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. I'd have to say that the Ruckman guys who are rude in speech are also rude in knowledge. They don't know what they need to know. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? And I look at that verse, not to bunny trail this stuff, I look at that verse a little bit, and we are an exalted people. Not that we got the glory in this world, not that we got, but when you think about it, he's made us pure, he's made us clean on the inside, all the things that he's done, all the knowledge that he's given us, all the things that we've seen with our eyes now, we are being exalted by what we're able to accomplish through Paul, through Christ, the risen Savior. And so anyway, his question is, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? I wonder if we're willing to do that, to try to talk to somebody, to abase ourselves, you know, not to walk around in our fleshly spirit of liberty that we have, and, you know, for the sake of these other people to get it. Anyway, because I preached to you the gospel of God freely, I robbed other churches of taking wages of them to do you service. So, do I rob you so we can keep this thing going? Those are the questions Paul is asking. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. There's where the pastors let money burn them. You know, Bob, you remember when, how's this go now? Your church, so how's that go? Oh, one of the church members gave me a 9mm. To protect me from the hitchhikers we had going through town. And it wasn't a couple days later, another one of the guys bought me a .22 just to keep up with the giving kind of a thing, you know. In other words, whoever pays me the most owns me. And that's a difficult issue to deal with, except it got to where I didn't mind preaching about stuff to people, and yet they were given that kind of money for the sake of taxes at the end of the year for church. You know that whole story. But was I chargeable to anyone? No, but I felt like I was when I started Ohio. I relied on people sending me money. And I found myself being chargeable to those that gave me money, because if I didn't say the right stuff, people were starting to fade out a little bit with the money. That's when I started to get scared. That was also when I realized I have to work. I can't just be the Paul guy, because people that like what I preach, most of them don't have enough money to keep it going, and those that have enough money to keep it going certainly aren't going to like what Paul preaches about riches. You know, so I saw, I need to get out of Ohio. I need to go back and get a job. Oh, lo and behold, there's a job open for teaching in the middle of South Dakota in the middle of the year. And here we are back into it again. Still wish I could be back in South Dakota, Julie. something about South Dakota. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. So when things are lacking for me, the brethren from the website, from our web family, are supplying. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Not to be a burden to you. I've probably said more about money in the last year or so than I have in all the years I've been a preacher thing, you know. It is tough. As the truth of Christ is in me, okay, now we have it in our King James Bible, in Paul as well, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Now, what has this got to do with persecution? You'll see it. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. That's a sermon in itself. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them. Again, we're looking at the people that have the money to buy them. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Okay, we got to keep that in mind here. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. So we're looking at these people that are telling everybody what's really good, and we're going to tell them, well, it really isn't from God. Okay, hang on. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. So here he goes. Okay, if you guys want to brag, listen, I'll brag. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. So they go out to these people. This is such a pastoral slap in the face to pastors today. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. Pastors don't have that happen to them today. Some of these guys that get out there, you know, like Phil Robinson and Robertson, whatever the name is, and all these guys, they'll get something started so they can make it look like they're being persecuted. And the devil will allow that to look like they're being persecuted because it makes them look like then they're speaking the truth. And we're seeing more and more of that these days. More and more fight and victories and challenges about Jesus. When we know who Jesus they're talking about, they're talking about the Revelation 6 Jesus, not the Revelation 19. Paul speaks about the Revelation 19 one. I speak as concerning a reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? He reminds us, I speak as a fool, you know, I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Fasting, I remember this is before King James Bible. Beside those things that were without, and I love this, being a former pastor or CEO of a local assembly, whatever you want to call it. Beside those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He had more than one. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. So as we're going to go through some of these things that Paul went through, remember, this, he was okay with this stuff. Now, in all truth, we really ought to keep reading all of chapter 12. Go down to chapter 13 and read at least as far as 11, but then he might as well finish the last three verses. But he's talking about, I've come to you the third time now. Well, what happened the first and second? Probably wasn't the best, but he's back for the third time. And he talks about taking pleasure in infirmities in verse 10 of chapter 12, in reproaches and necessities and persecutions. He says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. My grace is sufficient for thee, verse 9, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So the power of Christ is in a King James Bible who will change our days, change our it'll work in people we show it to. Then that's our job, is to get them to the Bible, not to give them opinions. And I just am adamant about that, because I've been talking with my principal for quite a while, and he still doesn't give me time to sit down and whoop open the pages and show them the basis of this whole thing. He's still willing to look at that Great Commission production, that presentation thing. And I don't know, Mark, it doesn't seem to be in the plans to put audio to it, but I hope I can someday, maybe when I'm, you know, whatever. But sometimes it's best that you can still click it yourself and talk to people about it. That's what people need to see. The whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, here's how this thing works. And that's that Greater Commission presentation. That's on my presentation section. That's the stuff I wish I could show people. Then there's another one that's the threefold track thing, and it showed how the dispensation of grace pops in the middle. Boy, how can they miss it? Well, they miss it because they're not Bible believers anymore. Even the King James guys think this is all nuts. That's because you're not following your Bible, you're following a person, blah, 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 blah. Let's go to Acts chapter 9 now, and let's look at some things that actually happened to Paul. Not these big, long lists, not that I'm trying to make them any less important. Man, to be whipped and shipwrecked, all that stuff that he's gone through. I can give you a list of pretty tough stuff I've been through, but nothing like Paul. Nothing. The only reason I probably took it really hard is because some people who were with me took it really hard and didn't understand how this could work, and you know the whole story. What does Paul say? Listen, if you want to follow the risen Savior, if you want to do what I'm doing here, follow me, this kind of stuff, you need to be, yeah. But if you need to do that to keep yourselves from fornicating out there, then I guess you better do that. But if you want to do the Paul thing, you're better off, you know what I mean. Acts chapter 9. Here are some things that took place. Now, it's interesting, I suppose, whatever word you're supposed to use there. It's unique, it's good to know, or whatever. But Paul was hassled by the Jews and the Gentiles, which in that time were heathen. Those that didn't turn to the risen Savior are heathen Gentiles, and those that did are Church of God Gentiles. I guess you could look at it that way. Paul's talking to the Jews for a little while, but then when that which is perfect comes along, that's just all done for, kaputs, and now he's talking to the Gentiles. And at first, the Gentiles were thrilled with it. But after a while, they didn't like it as much, just like today. You give them the first half of Paul's doctrine, and the church loves it. The church gets excited. The people are wonderful. Then when you get into Timothy and Titus, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't mean for you to get into that. Well, you take all of Paul. Acts chapter 9, verse 21. Here's the things that took place right away after Paul got saved as such and found out what his purpose were to be and went back to the Jews and told them that he was the Son of God, chapter 9, verse 20. So after he tells the Jews in the synagogues that he is the Son of God, Paul isn't, but Jesus Christ was, but all that heard him were amazed. You ever talk to people about this stuff? What are they? They're amazed. Now, they're not just amazed at the stuff that you're saying. If they know you, they're amazed that you're doing any of this. Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that he is very Christ. Well, that's exciting. Yeah, but verse 23. Now, we've been over this before. I like looking at Paul's life. His teachings are spectacular, you know, and everybody out there in the different Paul cycles out there get into different things, I suppose. I was talking to Gary, you know, whatever, that's whatever. But you get into Paul, you find out about Paul's life. And it's just like I know the guy, because I've seen his life many times as I read through this part of it here. So in verse 23, after that he was preaching what he was preaching, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying wait was known of Saul. I mean, Paul knew it. It's kind of hard it's not hard to tell that somebody wants to get rid of you. I can sense it at the school here already. I mean, how dare I, or dare me, deny these little children recess and work on a musical play instead? You know. And I got that petition out against me over on Christmas that a lady wanted to get me fired because I wouldn't do a Christmas program until I told her that this is not my decision. This is the administrative decision. And then she denied whatever. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And then there's an interesting story that takes place after that, okay? Let's go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 16 to 50. Woo. Verse 16, then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give attendance. Then he goes and he preaches what he preaches. What a thing, you know. Let's go down to 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, because the whole city wanted to hear Paul, you know, that stuff was exciting. They were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Well, what do we have today? We have a King James Bible rightly divided. We don't just have Paul walking around in the streets. And we are the ones walking around on the streets. But I doubt anybody on here, you know, really does the Paul thing outwardly. I mean, ladies, can you walk into this, you know, in modest apparel, and you're not a loud mouthy like Carol Burnett today on a commercial thing was bragging the fact that she has a Tarzan yell just as good as Tarzan in the movies, you know, what's his name there? Can't think of his name, whatever. And I thought, well, that's just really something to be proud of, Carol Burnett. That's a winner, you know. And she opened up her mouth where you could put a basketball in there, and then she yodeled her Johnny Weissmuller. Yeah. Oh, I tell you. Okay, so, filled with envy and spake against those things were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And what's going on with our Bible today? They're contradicting and blaspheming using the King James Bible because they don't know how to rightly divide. It's that simple. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "Oh, and he's got the big crowd coming too here. You know, you all know the story. One of my favorite ones. It is. It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Okay, it was the Jews. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, well, we turn to the Gentiles." For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. That's my verse I use for what I call, let's see if anybody knows. Who's the first one to get that typed in gets a Tootsie Roll? What do I use this verse here for? Verse 47. You get a Tootsie Roll, whoever's the first to type it in. Okay, so nobody knows. Okay, Bob, you should know this. This is where I started this thing back in Touche. Mark, you would know this, I would think. Sam, I don't know when you started with this. Okay, I'll give you a clue. Great. But there's more letters in that word. There we go. Greater, E-R, Greater Commission. He has a Greater Commission now, beyond the Great Commission, which is Mark 16, go out to the world, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. And I need to do a sermon on on the Great Commission and show people where that stuff came from. And then stop talking so it isn't so long. So maybe they'll listen to it. So that's the Greater Commission, a light to the Gentiles, not to the Jews. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to return. Oh, this is just fantastic stuff. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, which must have been pretty cool because they didn't have Bibles yet. Yes, verse 50. You all remember when I talk about this verse right here, I get this little spark. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city. You know, the commissioners and all this junk, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. That didn't take long. Put a little formal complaint in there and you're gone, you know. And the disciples, let's see, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came at Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Well, how are we going to get that joy? When something like that happens to us, we get back in that book. But I have learned, beyond the if anybody were to say, well, hey, Mr. Paulson, what have you learned the most about pastoring and preaching and all that stuff? Well, I'd have to say in the top 10 were the most difficult people I've ever had to deal with were devout and honorable women. I have dealt, that's been my number one thing since I did Song of Solomon. Bob, remember that? Since we did Song of Solomon on a Monday night where we compared Saul's little queenie there to one of Pharaoh's horses and we studied a good horse and it's been a fight ever since. And yet I get letters from ladies and emails from women and ladies. I mean, that's probably one of the hardest things for them to have to deal with. Is because the world has lifted them so high, they've lifted them so far away from God's purpose, for God's design for the woman, that to put them in their spot with Paul, they hate Paul. They hate grace. They like this honorableness. They like to follow the law. They like it just right. And us guys, we just basically could care less about church. We'll go to it because they want us to. Certainly wouldn't want to deny our children a Sunday school class to go to, even though in that Sunday school class they're teaching them garbage. They're teaching them garbage music, and the little bitty kids are teaching them works to heaven, and da-da-da-da. And the wife goes off with the honorable women, and devout women go off with their honorable and devout pastor's wife, and they get preached at. You remember back in Touche, I canceled the nursery. Because the ladies that were in the nursery needed to hear what I was preaching. I remember that. What about the kids? Bring them up here. I don't know. They start whining and screaming, then take them down. But we're done providing nursery for you folks. You ladies need to be up here. Okay. Anyway. So that's got to be some challenges. Paul up against the devout and honorable women and chief men of the city. Okay. Let's get going, because this is we're doing all right for time, though. So, let's see here. Stirred up the race, got rid of them, made them leave town. Okay, Acts 14, verse 1. I wonder what is going to happen here. I'm not trying to do anything, and according to North Dakota, I can do this. I can talk about stuff if the kids ask me, and the principal and the superintendent certainly don't care, you know. Chapter 14, verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue. Well, stay out of the synagogue. Don't get so much hassle, Paul. But those are the guys that need to hear this. Yeah, I know. Stay out of those ladies' circles and just let their husbands deal with them. Yeah, the husbands won't do it. Yeah, I know. Into the synagogue of the Jews. By the way, there's a grammar point for you. We use the word in way too often when we mean into. They went both together in the synagogue of the Jews. No, they went into. So you just think about all the times you say the word in when you really mean into. Anyway, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. Wouldn't that just be exciting? Well, I don't know now. Look what happens. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Now, I compare a Jew in Paul's time to a gospel Christian today, to the modern gospel Christian today. Not the loosey-goosey ones, but the ones that are somewhat serious about Bible. Because they're looking at Jewish teachings from Jesus, so I consider them, you know, quote-unquote, Jew mentality there. Okay? So, but the unbelieving gospel people of today, that's how I look at that, stirred up the other people in their church and everywhere else and made their minds, that's pretty rough, made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Minds. What are some of these unbelieving Jews, modern Christians, have anything to do with subliminal stuff and things in the newspapers and things in the magazines and in the movies and all that? I wonder if any of those people are messing with the minds, M-I-N-D-S, which messes with us. Stay in that book. That's where the mind of Christ is at. Okay, so there's that one. Things got stirred up, and they got the Gentiles to get upset. I mean, the Jews are causing this to happen. The gospel guys today, the church people today, you know, oh, you've been talking to this guy about Paul? Well, let me tell you how dumb that is, da-da-da-da. And this guy is ugly, this guy's been messed around, this guy is rude, this guy is such and such, and so they go after you. Who stirred that up? Well, the people that don't believe what you're saying. That's where they get this stuff. And Bob, we were at the fairgrounds every year, twice a year for a number of years, to the point where people knew who we were when they got there. Ah, you're back, huh? Yep, sorry, but we are back. Okay. Acts 16. Well, this is a little bit better news. Acts 16, verses 16 to 24. Well, this whole story is about these people losing their money. Verse 19, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And there he goes. He gets hassled for that thing. Verse 22, multitude rose up together against them. It's no fun when the whole crowd's going against you. Many stripes upon them, cast them into prison. Then you know the rest of that story here. So, you know, that was quite a thing. Go through a lot of hassle to get a good ending. Let's look at Acts chapter 17, verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned to them out of the Scriptures. Well, boy, that's pretty exciting. That's really exciting. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas in verse 4, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. I mean, he really got some headway there. He must have really convinced some people. I mean, we're talking about devout Greeks, you know, the Greek language people, the Greekies, you know, and the chief women, not a few. That's King James Bible, I like that. And not a few, that means a lot of them. And I find that interesting that he mentions that again, chief women. That is an issue for Paul. But the Jews, here we go, you know, the gospel people, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason. Jason? He wasn't up there preaching. And sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down." Don't you know that if people would catch on to this stuff, this would turn, I mean, talk about healing the land. This would turn this nation upside down and start looking to Paul. Verse 8, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Oh, that's too bad. They had a chance to hear, but they rejected. Okay, so there's that. Let's go down to 17:32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, that was Paul's message, remember? And others said, we will hear some mocked. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Yea. Verse 34, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. Well, there are those mockers out there. We will hear you again. You're going to, you know, you just couldn't understand it. How come you guys keep leaving and coming? Must be an internet thing there, huh? Let's go to Acts 19. See, we've been through all this stuff. We've been through it with our church people when we tried to bring Paul into a church that was already established with Dr. Ruckman as its king. We then went to another town where nothing was spoken of it by Paul and tried to get something going, and the Baptist pastor tore it up before it got there, and the wife of somebody wouldn't let somebody get involved in it, fizzled with finances and time and the whole deal. Then we've talked to students, we've talked to teachers, we've talked to administrators, we've talked to friends, we've talked to families, haven't you? Is the sound still there? I guess I'm going to say, well, if there is no sound, you're not going to hear my question. I know, I'm a music teacher, what can I say? Okay, so we've been through these things in some form or another. Now I'm dealing with people who know what it's all about, understand what it's all about, that are now going through the same thing that Paul went through in Romans chapter 7, because they're keeping their mind in the world instead of in the Bible, and before you know it, they're out there smoking pot with the family. So, is it my problem? No, it's not my problem. How about the guy that was a real, what do you call those guys that are not normal? She left him and ended up going back to him. What about the, well, there is one victory, but she lost her mind over it back there in Tushy. She kept going back to this guy. He kept beating her. He kept going back to this guy. He kept beating her. She finally got him in jail and finally stayed away from him. But she's like almost a mental case. It's a very sad, sad situation. Very serious difficulties, physically and everything. Boy. Yeah. Oh, I could just give you names of people, but whenever I talk about this, somebody writes to me that says, oh, there's been people that listened to what you preached and taught in this Bible and understand Paul and how it got them out of their whole confusional mess of life. So, it still takes place. It still takes place. I'm just not around to see it, which is probably a good thing. Okay, where are we at here? Moved with envy, lewd fellows of the baser sort gathered a company, set the city on an uproar, assaulted the house of Jason, you know. Oh, and blamed him for turning the world upside down. Don't you wish you could do that? Acts 17, verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. We've been over that one. Let's go to Acts chapter 19, verse 23. And I like this part right here. At the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. So here's Paul, you know, going into Asia. Then you get into the story about Demetrius, a silversmith, and he gets all twisted because he's finding out that Paul is going to stop him from buying his trinkets. Verse 25, when he called together with the workmen of the occupation and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear in verse 26 of chapter 19 of Acts, that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all of Asia, this Paul guy, you know, this Paul, hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods. Are you serious? He would say such a thing? There are no gods which are made with hands. Then, so that not only this, our craft is in danger, to be said it not, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana Luther should be despised, and her magnificent church, Vatican, all this stuff and all these things that these churches do today, and their magnificence should be destroyed. I hate, I despise, I want to destroy religion. I know what it's done to me. I know what it's done with it to my family, to my kids, to my students over time. I see it going on this very day, what goes on with kids when they go to church. When you come to church and hear me saying such and such, well, if I go to that church, I'm approving that church. I may not preach against it, but I will not visually support it. I'm sorry, kids, but I do. I preach myself in the mornings. Well, you do? What do you mean? Well, I got this website out there where there are thousands and thousands of people just begging to hear me preach the Bible. Really? Well, what do you talk about? Yeah, those kind of conversations are quick and short but fun. I don't say thousands, by the way. I just say many. Because we don't know. I got a couple letters I've got to answer pretty soon from people who read this stuff. And then they got their little question that they have to ask that their pastor told them to ask, not them. What are we doing here? We're looking at Acts 19, verse 23. Have we done that one yet, 23? Yeah, we're getting to that thing. And we get down to verse 27 and then 28. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Mary, great is Martin, great is John Knox, great is Dr. Ruckman, great is Jack Hiles, great is all these ladies in the Pentecostal world, you know, with the big fluffy hairs and all that stuff, you know. And to deal with this stuff, and all the city was, the whole city was filled with confusion. Well, yeah, because all of our Bibles today, none of them say what the King James Bible says. And if the King James Bible's been around for 400 plus years, nothing's changed, then how come all these Bibles conflict what it says and what things better then and now, blah, 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 blah. We're so confused, we don't want to have anything to do with any of it. So, yeah, we've been there. So, there's that story. And Paul's buddies, Paul was going to go in there and talk to him. And his Paul's, it says here, the disciples wouldn't let him go in. No, Paul, you cannot go in there. You know. It's like I want to go to a school board meeting and Matt or something, the principal says, no, you don't you dare talk about that with them. It's not going to work. We've got to get you out of here. Okay, I'll finish this up here, Acts chapter 26. Verse 24, you know, you got this testimony with King Agrippa. 26, verse 44, and Festus pops in with verse 24. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You are one nutcase. Well, Festus, I wasn't talking to you, okay? I was talking to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa says down there in verse 28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost got me, Paul, but Festus came in here and said, you're crazy. How could you think of this stuff? And that kind of broke the concentration. Boom, he's gone. Who knows, you know? Paul says, verse 25, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. That's better than I would have said. But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. That's good. These things weren't even done in a corner. They weren't hidden. Come on, this king's seen this stuff. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Paul, man, I tell you, almost thou persuadest me. You almost got me, Paul. And then Paul, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. He would like to see Festus get it, but he didn't get it. Well, let's finish up with Acts 8:22. I mean, Paul's persecuted. How why is this persecution? Because Paul wanted people to get this stuff. That's his persecution. Yes, he had the whips and the beatings and the gunshots, you know, and the locked in the trunk of a car and all this kind of, he's always had all those things happen to him. But his disappointment with tears is the fact, his persecution is the fact that people wouldn't get this. That and we see example after example after example. Look at verse 22 of Acts chapter 28 for the last one. Acts chapter 22 of Acts chapter 28. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. You know, Paul, everywhere you go, everybody says you're crazy. You know, Julie. You know, Gary and Joyce. You know, Sam. You know, Bob. You know, Mark. Anywhere you talk about this stuff, they're just going to say that they're going to speak against it. You just know that. 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. Well, that's nice. So where's somebody come knocking on my door and say, can you teach me this Paul stuff? Well, we do have email. We have text. We have a website. They get on there sometimes. Lately, my music's been being, you know, the shelves are empty in the music section of my bookstore. Anyway. Let's see what we got here. 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. There's another underliner. Not the kingdom of heaven, but the kingdom of God. You know, there's some really dumb discussions out there about kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. It's like, where are you coming up with this stuff? Both out of the law of Moses, that's good, and out of the prophets from morning till evening. Don't they wish they had a King James Bible? Well, it's coming. It's coming. Paul says, when that which is perfect is come, then all this other religion, all this other stuff we're doing, it's going to become false religion. It's going to be dead in the water. And some believed the things which were spoken, and naturally some believed not. This part. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Now, I believe this King James Bible means Paul mentioned one word, and they took off. One word. Well, there's been places I've left before the guy got up there. There's places I left as soon as the guy got up there, whatever. But this is more specific because we know what Paul's going to preach. And he got right up there, and as soon as he said one word, they're gone. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias, the prophet, unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing here shall hear, and not shall understand, and seeing here shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. That's what we're dealing with. And their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 29, and when he said these words, the Jews departed. And that's the key to the whole age here. If we look at Romans chapter what, verse what? Romans chapter 11, verse 22. People don't want to hear about the goodness of God. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Learn about both. On them which fell severity, that's the Jews, but toward thee, the Gentile nation, singular, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Rapture, no. The big cutoff. And until that happens, there is going to be persecution if you're trying to live godly according to Paul. And my experiences so far have been people will only fight so long and then they quit. And I'm trying to think of some stuff to support a sermon thought I have, and that is, why isn't Paul enough? Why is not reading the books from Paul and the teaching from the risen, why is that not enough to get us to stop doing some of the stuff we should stop doing? It's not about the severity of God, but because it's not about the severity of God, and we don't need to fear that, then we just go and do our thing. Well, you know, that's not going to last. But the goodness of God is the fact, okay, if you choose to do those things, you're still not going to be accountable. You're still not going to have that dirty up your soul. That's the goodness of God. So the least thing you could do, Romans chapter 12, is to just try to live a little bit better of a life, holy up a little bit. Can't you do that? Look what I did to you. I fixed you so if you try to do the right thing and you mess up, it doesn't get recorded. I got it set up for you. If you choose to do the wrong thing, I still got it clean. And they don't want to hear that. They just don't want to hear that. It's amazing. There's Paul's persecutions, the ones that we've dealt with anyway. And as they say in my Lutheran, how do they used to say it at the end? I forgot. Whatever. Who cares, right? So, nice to see your names there. It's good to see you folks around. Hang in there with me. I'll live long enough to keep some more going. Make some more changes on the website here. We've got a whole day off. Tomorrow is Robert E. Lee's birthday. And so we will be celebrating that by not having school. And did you know that Stonewall Jackson's birthday is the next day? Boy, we could have a George Washington and Abraham Lincoln birthday, and then we could have a President's Day, we could have a General's Day. Lee and Jackson, two different days, right next to each other. Martin who? What did he do? You know, I realize it was pretty bad down there. These people were getting killed and abused and tortured. Yeah, that's tough stuff. That's too bad that happened. But I know enough about this Martin guy that, boy, he sure doesn't deserve a day. I'm glad he gave us one, though. I got a day off of school tomorrow. So I will work on my stuff, and I got my big computer at home so I can get more done. Well, I've got nothing to do. I don't have to wobble over here to the school and get something done. I can just pop right there at the home and get it done. There's nothing else going on there. Me and the dog, Sophie, who had to meet a firm hand again today, and the dog has been brought up by treats and to be a champion. You know, they don't hit up the champions. She is just realizing, boy, I don't know where I'm at, but this is not the right place for me. She's coming around. I'm not hitting her hard. Don't go there, you know. I turned my Hershey into a very neurotic, scared dog because I did him too much. Anyway, who cares? Nice to see Julie, Gary, Joyce, Sam, Bob there, Mark. Julie, when you talk to your sisters, especially Jan, I think it's Jan, I think it is B or something, lousy memory, I will be writing to them, thanking them for what they've said and for what they've done. And if you see them, tell them I got a printer with it, and you know, spread the word to that stuff. Sam, I'll get back talking to you, and Gary and Joyce and Mark, we'll get that thing set up for you. You can have your own little fling on Wednesday nights. It's all yours. Yeah, please tell them that, because you three have been a real encouragement, and it's been exciting to have this here. And in Christ alone, I think you came this morning, but you came at the end. You must be in a different time zone. You always come in when we're walking out the door shaking hands with the minister at the back door as he takes your hand and pulls you out the door because he wants to go golfing or go to restaurants or something. So, remember that, Bob? We'd have to get out of there to get down to La Casita or El Sombrero. Let's go, folks. I'll cut it short. Let's go down. Let's go eat. And then we would just take over the whole restaurant. And then that one family that had a baby would actually embarrass us with the mess they would leave. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, well. So there you go. I'll get this stuff up as soon as I can. It always takes a couple days because it takes long to convert this thing to internet, whatever that thing is. And that takes a while. Then I make it into a DVD so I can send it to people who want to watch because they don't have any internet. And this is where the time consuming comes. Not the sermonating or the preaching, but the preparing after we're done stuff. That's what takes hours. It takes quite a while. Okay. Quit whining and think of Paul's persecutions. You're right. So, good night, folks. Good night, Bob, Sam, Gary, Joyce, Jujuice, and Christ alone again. And Bob, good to see you there. It's just amazing what's going on in that household over there. And Mark, we'll get you going. And I think that's everybody. Gary and Joyce, enjoy your spooky, wet forests out there. Good night, folks.